wonderful to sing and to praise, wonderful to come and read God's Word together as well. So if you have a Bible with you, then open it up to Luke chapter 18 and verse 15. Luke 18 and 15. If you don't have one, you can listen in, and Judith's going to come and read God's Word to us this morning.
Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.
Amen. Thanks, Judith. Let's bow our heads and let's just pray for a moment. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we think about that just now together, that you would come and that you would speak to us, each and everyone. We pray that you would encourage us. We pray that you would challenge us. And Father God, we pray that you would help us to learn from your word how you would have us live life on this earth, in this day, in this generation. So come and speak to us, to speaker and to listener alike. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. D.L. Moody, a great evangelist and Bible teacher of many a year ago, once returned from a meeting and reported 2.5 conversions. 2 adults and a child, I suppose, asked his host. No, said Moody, 2 children and 1 adult. The children gave their whole lives, the adult only had half of his left to give. We all know that adults need to come and be brought to Jesus. But with children, we tend to think to ourselves that they're just kids. They've got plenty of time. Besides, how much can they really understand? You can easily convince a child to say yes to the gospel, but how can you know if they truly understood what it is to love Jesus? Let's concentrate on the adults. But Jesus didn't agree with that kind of thinking. He told his disciples, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." The late Charles Haddon Spurgeon, another great preacher, a Baptist, so he was, of yesteryear, suggests that we should be less inclined to doubt a child's profession of faith than an adult's, because children are less prone to hypocrisy and a child is more likely not to have borrowed words or phrases from someone else. In any case, I believe it's our responsibility as parents and within family, within the church, to be bringing our children to Jesus. And this passage which Judith has read for us clearly illustrates that this morning. Today, Emma has come to give thanks to God for the wonderful gift of Cameron. She's brought Cameron here to give thanks and to seek God's blessing upon her son. She has brought Cameron before God, promising to keep bringing him to Jesus as he grows and as he develops. And so this morning I want us to think on these words in Luke chapter 18 and to think about bringing children to Jesus. We begin in verse 15 with a parent's responsibility. A parent's responsibility. So Emma, this is for you. And hey, all you guys who are parents out there, it's for you as well this morning. People, we read there, people were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. The little children were brought to Jesus. In the other words, in the other Gospels, the word there it means little children, but here Luke uses a different word to talk about babies and infants. Isn't that a remarkable thing, though, that the Scriptures tell us? That parents and grandparents, family and friends and neighbours were bringing their own babies and infants and little children from the neighbourhood in to Jesus. They wanted Jesus to bless them and to pray for them. And this was commonplace in that day and in that age, as people would come to the rabbi, to the teacher of the day, to ask him to pray for their children and to bless them. You know, in years gone by, many people used to bring children to church so that they could learn about Jesus and be blessed by being there. And there's evidence to show that during the pre-1800s, that there was an incredible amount of violence about the place. And that changed in the early 1800s and early 1900s. And what was the difference during all of those years? The difference was that children were being sent to Sunday school. They grew up differently. They grew up sharing love and compassion rather than anger and hatred. Times are changing again, sadly, I think. And I'd like to contend that is partly due to the fact that we don't see, on the whole, many people bringing their children to Jesus and bringing their children to Sunday school. Children today aren't given that same opportunity to learn about the love of the one who first loved us, Jesus. And so it's great to see so many of our children in church week by week. It's great to see Emma bringing Cameron and not only asking God's blessing, but promising to bring him up within the Christian faith as well. And our service as parents and grandparents, as family and friends and neighbours, as believers in Jesus Christ, it is our duty, I think, to bring our children to Jesus. What more can we do for our young people than tell them the stories of Jesus, to teach them about his love and his compassion? And yes, we can do that from the very youngest of ages. A parent's responsibility is to bring a child to Jesus. A parent's responsibility is to encourage that child. These people brought their children to Jesus. They were encouraging them from a young age that is important. It's important to be in Jesus' presence, and it's important to come to him. These people encouraged their children to come to Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, we read that parents should bring their children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The encouragement here is for a parent to be telling their children about Jesus and his love. They're to be bringing them, in the words of the day, they're to be bringing them to the synagogue so that they can learn from the teachers there. We ought to be encouraging our children to come to church. Yes, they can at times be noisy. Yes, they can interrupt and ask awkward questions. Yes, they require special attention and resources. But what a wonderful thing it is to have children in church. What a wonderful thing it is to have a little girl come up to you in the middle of a service, not caring what else is going on, to show you her doll and to tell you all about it. Something special and meaningful to her. And what a blessing it is. And no, I can't tell you how warmed my heart is week by week as I look out and I see Nathan and Robin and Molly and others smiling back at me. My heart is thrilled as I see Joel some Sundays come dancing down to the front to the song, so excited to be here. My heart is warmed as I see Michael and Jonathan and Emily listen and sing the songs. My heart is thrilled to see Rebecca and Holly and Mia and Abigail all here. It's great to see Jennifer and Gavin. Great to have Adler amongst us. It's great to see some of the others who drop in from time to time. And it's great to see some of the other children here this morning. Why? Because it's important to encourage your children to be in church. And so it's our parents' responsibility to encourage their child. And so, Emma, be encouraging Cameron from a very young age about Jesus. Read him those Bible stories from Scripture that will warm your heart and his. Which leads us nicely on to the second responsibility of a parent. We have a responsibility to educate our children. These people were teaching their children what was important in life. These people recognized who Jesus was and that he was different from all the other teachers they knew. This man was the Son of God. This man was the Lamb of God who had come to take away the sins of the world. This man, as John describes him, is the way, the truth, and the life. They recognized that he had the power to bless the children and to pray for them. They longed to have Jesus pray for their children. In a text I often use at dedications, we find that same encouragement to educate our children. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you want to turn there, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, where we read the words, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Emma, upset Alan and Catherine by writing it on the front door. I jest. But the principle is to be teaching our children about Jesus, to be reading the scriptures to them. And so these people we read of in scripture here this morning began to educate them by bringing their children to Jesus, and we can help educate our children by doing exactly the same. We do that firstly in our homes as we read them the stories of Jesus, as they go to bed at night and as we pray with them. As they grow up, we share more stories with them and we begin to interact with them as we tell the stories. We begin to encourage them as they grow to join us in prayer as well. We educate them at home as they see how we live and how we act and how we respond. They watch us. And if we're a people who are found reading the scriptures every day and spending time in prayer, then they will observe and follow our actions. And if our actions aren't quite so good, guess what? Our kids copy us as well. I learned that very early on in life. One day, as I spoke out of turn at one point in time to somebody, and what did Andrew do? Copy my actions exactly. And hey, that is an embarrassing moment for a parent, and I'm sure many of you will have been there in different circumstances this morning. Let them copy your good actions. Let them see you reading the scriptures and living for Jesus. We educate our children by bringing them to church and to Sunday school as well, so they can learn the stories of Jesus there. They have an opportunity to have fun, to hear the stories, to think through them, to complete worksheets, to sing songs of God's love and God's goodness. They learn from the Bible how to live and act in this world. And I am so grateful for our Sunday school teachers who come week by week and teach our children. Emma will be reading the Bible and praying with Cameron. So we're to educate and to encourage, but we're also to evangelize our children. You know, one of the most important things we can ever do for our children is to share Jesus with them. These people we read about in the Bible are bringing their children to Jesus. And Jesus was not in this passage saving them. I want to encourage you and say that clearly to you. That's not what this passage is about. He is blessing them and he is praying for them. However, in bringing children to Jesus, they were exposing them to him and to his love. In bringing our children to church and to Sunday school, we expose them to the gospel message. From very early on in the Bible, we are encouraged to share God with our children. And that those words in Deuteronomy I read a moment or two ago, we are encouraged to tell our children about God and to share the message of his love with them. Our children are never too young to hear about the gospel message. We need to be sharing the stories with them. Did you know that many of the great Christians down through the years gave their lives to Jesus at a very young age? Polycarp, a church father, was only 9 years old. Jonathan Edwards, a great preacher of yesteryear, was 7. Isaac Watts, the hymn writer, was 9. Corrie ten Boom, who some of you will know about for the Holocaust years, was asked Jesus to be her saviour when she was only 5 years old. We are to be educating, encouraging and evangelising our children from a young age, not to force them into anything or to put pressure on them, but to allow them to hear the wonderful truths of Scripture. There is a great responsibility on us as a parent and as parents. Children are a great gift from a Creator God, but he places a great responsibility on us. We move from a parent's responsibility to Jesus' request. You know, much is going on in Jesus' life. People are constantly coming to him or being brought to him. He is healing and he is teaching. And of course, he's avoiding arrest as well, because the religious leaders didn't like what he stood for and what he was about, and they wanted to get rid of him. But it's not yet Jesus' time. And here in this passage, people were bringing their children to Jesus as well. They wanted him to bless them and pray for them. And we bring our children to Jesus so he can bless them too. We bring them to Jesus, for we want them to hear of him and one day to be saved. What do we recognise about Jesus here? What do we see about his request? Well, we see his heart. The disciples, those followers of Jesus, those who followed him closely, those of his best pals, that little group that surrounded him, were annoyed that people were bringing their children to Jesus. Jesus was a busy man. He had been speaking a lot, and so he was tired. There were more important things for him to be concerned about, or so they thought. But here we see Jesus' heart. He is never too busy for anyone. For anyone. He longs that all would come to him. In verse 16 he says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Let the little children come." These children did not bring money. They could not serve Jesus by doing things, and yet they've got a special place in Jesus' heart. He loves them. He longs to see them and to talk to them. He longs to bless them. And here is an important lesson for us older folks as well. Jesus is not interested in our money. His Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is not interested in what we can do. He has angels at his ready. He is interested in us as we are. Us as we are. With all our faults and with all our failings. With all the different things that we do in our lives. He longs for us. Yes, he encourages us to bring our gifts to him and to love him. Yes, he longs for us to serve him and to share the gospel message with others. But we cannot earn salvation through doing any of these things. We earn salvation by accepting his love, pure and simple, and seeking to live for him. Jesus' heart is for the children, and his heart is for all humanity. And notice that his heart here is kind and compassionate. He's not angry with the children. He's not angry even with the parents who are bringing their children. Oh, he's a bit annoyed with his disciples, with those who should have known better. But he welcomes the little children in his open arms. In Mark's Gospel, in the same account of this story, we read that after Jesus spoke those words, he took the children in his arms, he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Jesus was comfortable with children, and children were comfortable with Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing to notice. Children read the attitude of adults. They know instantly whether they can trust them or not. They know if they are kind and gentle or whether they're gruff and unkind. The children spoken of here came straight up to Jesus and sat on his knee. They knew his heart. We also see his hands. Luke tells us that some parents were bringing their children to Jesus. They wanted Jesus. It tells us there right in verse 15. They wanted Jesus to touch them. You heard me right. They wanted Jesus to touch their children. These parents weren't hero worshippers who wanted the thrill of some great teacher touching their child. They're not sending their children to Jesus to get his autograph as we do with any kind of star these days. Rather, they want Jesus to change the lives of their children. You see, friends, touching is a means of bringing a blessing. Throughout Scripture, we hear of touching in many different ways. Think of Isaac. Although he was fooled into thinking it was Esau, he touched his son Jacob and blessed him with every kind of blessing. Think of Jacob and his deathbed. He touched each of his 12 sons and the sons of Joseph as they come before them. He touched them and he blessed them. Think of Jesus and his own ministry. On many occasions, Jesus touched someone. Or someone touched him. When the woman who had been bleeding for all of those years touched Jesus' life, the life and healing power and strength of Jesus flowed straight into her. When Jesus touched a man born blind from birth, the man was able to see. When Jesus touched a man with leprosy, that man was healed. Whenever Jesus touches someone, that someone is changed in some way. Somehow the life and love of Jesus flows in and to and through them. Before he left that place that day, in the text we're looking at, Jesus placed his hands on each of the children and he blessed them and he prayed for them. He took the time necessary to do that. No matter how young they were and how insignificant they appeared, Jesus took the time to put his hands upon them. He took the time. Friends, never for one minute think that Jesus is not interested in you. He is. He loves you with a love that compelled him to go to a cross to die in your place. He loves you no matter how young or how old. He cares for you. He longs to touch your life, and he longs to change it and transform it. Jesus' hands, it's a wonderful little chorus. Jesus' hands are kind hands, doing good to all. Jesus' request is that the children be allowed to come. He has a heart of love and compassion for all people, but especially for children. Having thought of a parent's responsibility and Jesus' request, just very briefly, let me finish with the church's responsibility as well, because there is a responsibility on each one of us here this morning as well. And for this, we use the disciples as our example. The disciples were the ones who have tried to rebuke the people and send the children away. And this seems strange to me and to you as well, I'm sure. These men have been with Jesus. They've seen what he gets up to. They've seen the way that he welcomes people to his side. Jesus never turned anyone away during his life on earth. Even when Nicodemus came to him late at night, what did Jesus do? He took time to talk with him and share with him. And there's a responsibility on each one of us to allow people to come to Jesus. And the first responsibility in the midst of that is do not hinder. We are not to hinder or to stop anyone from coming to Jesus. It doesn't matter how young they are or how old, we must help them find Jesus. We are to bring them to him. The disciples tried to stop those who were bringing their children. Perhaps they thought he was too busy or too tired. Their motives were maybe pure and right. Either way, Jesus rebuked them, though. And they've been here before, haven't they? One day, Jesus had crossed to the other side of a lake to get away from everybody else. He had gone up onto a hillside, and guess what? The crowd saw him and they followed him. And there were 5,000, we read, men there with women and children beside. So what did Jesus do? He welcomed them as he always does, and he talked with them and he shared with them. And then his disciples came up to him and said, "By jingo, Jesus, it's getting late. Send them away. Get rid of them. Tell them to go and get food somewhere. We don't have anything. Tell them to go." And what did Jesus say? He says, No, we must have something. What have we got? And he found a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus prayed and he blessed that food. And somehow, miraculously, in the power of Jesus, everyone was fed that day and had their full. The disciples tried to turn people away then, and Jesus had rebuked them. And here again, Jesus says to them, don't stop these children. You know, the disciples have learned many lessons, but like us, each one of us, we like to do things our way and not Jesus' way. We are not to stop our children from coming to Jesus. We hinder them when we view them as unimportant and not worth it. We hinder them when we put them down and cast them aside. Do you know, it would have been so easy this morning to have ignored Rebecca as she came forward. It would have been so easy to concentrate on everything else that was going on here. But the important thing is to see our children as Jesus sees them, and to treat them as important and as special. Friends, it doesn't matter what age you are as a child, whether you're 2 or 3 or whether you're 91 or 92. We're not to hinder people from coming to Jesus. Jesus encourages his disciples and us about a responsibility when he says we are to welcome people. Do welcome them, says Jesus. Jesus says, in fact, in verse 16, that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. In fact, he goes on to say that anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. We are to come ourselves with childlike faith and accept Jesus as he is. We are not to think about it too much. We're not to argue the case for doing it. We are simply to come and to trust and to accept. Jesus says we are to welcome the children. The disciples were to welcome them in because they were exactly the people that Jesus wanted to welcome. A little story just before I round up together. Evangelist Louis Palau, that some of you may have heard about, he goes around the country speaking to large crowds of people. One day he was doing a crusade in Bolivia, of all places. His day started with a breakfast where he shared Jesus with a number of top government officials. He was looking forward to a lunch date later on with the Bolivian president. At mid-morning, he was in the middle of a press conference in a hotel room, and there was a knock on the door, and one of his team members walked in with a small Bolivian girl about 11 years old. She had seen Palau on TV and was anxious to talk to him. Palau felt a little bit irritated by this team member, a little bit irritated that he had brought her into the room just like that. But he greeted the little girl, picked up a book, signed it and gave it to her, and started leading her back towards the door. The little girl took two steps. She looked back and she said confidently, "But Mr. Palau, I really wanted to receive Christ into my heart." This caught Louis Palau upshot. He dismissed the newsman and he sat down and he spoke to that little girl about Jesus and his love for her, and he led her to Jesus Christ. Later that day, he had the awesome privilege of leading the president of Bolivia to Jesus as well. Both appointments were significant. As a church, we have a responsibility to our children and to the older children and adults as well, to not hinder them and to welcome them just as Jesus welcomes us. Let us all learn an important lesson there. So what have we learned today? We've learned that we've been taught to bring children to Jesus. There's a parent's responsibility there to bring them to Jesus, to encourage, to educate and to evangelize. And Emma has been given that awesome responsibility with Cameron, and she must keep bringing him to Jesus. We saw Jesus' request as well that children be allowed to come to him. We saw his heart and his hands. He loves the little children. He longs to take them in his arms and to bless them. And there's a church responsibility there as well. We are not to hinder our children, but we are to welcome them in gladly. Why? Because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Be encouraged today to keep bringing children, your children, the children of your families, the children of this neighborhood, to Jesus. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what it teaches us, for what it encourages us with. We thank you for the encouragement of bringing our children to you. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to do that, each and every one. Father God, there's nothing better than sharing your love with these people, from the youngest to the very oldest. Father God, help us to do that. And Father God, maybe we're here today and we don't know you either. And maybe this morning, Father God, as we've come to support Emma, maybe as we've come just to be in church this morning, maybe we've come for so many different reasons. As we've come today, Father God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and challenge us and change us. We pray that you would accept us as we are, with empty hands and with open hearts. Father God, if there be somebody here this morning who doesn't know you, then I pray in these moments that they would just welcome you into their hearts as Lord and as Saviour, that they would turn their lives around and seek to live for you, that they would turn their backs on that way of life that has caused them to sin and to do wrong against you. Father God, work in a great way this morning. For those of us who are parents, Father God, encourage us in our responsibility to bring up our children well and to bring them to Jesus. As a church, Father God, help us to remember our responsibility not to stop anyone, but to welcome them in and to keep bringing people to you. Father God, help us to share our love and your love with those we meet, with those we know, with those we care for. And help us to go from this place thinking through these words that you've shared with us this morning. But we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just as we conclude our service, we want us to sing a wonderful older hymn that says, "Standing on the promises of Christ my King." What wonderful promises we stand on. The promises in Scripture, the promises to each one of us. So let's stand together after the introduction and we'll sing this hymn together.